What's up? Happy Friday. It's the Raptor Show. The Blue Jays home opener, season opener was so bad that the Raptor Show is back today. Ugly, ugly stuff. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. How are you doing, Blake? It's Friday.
It is.
The weekend is upon us.
Are you ready for the Charlotte Hornets and the Philadelphia 76ers in a couple more tank offs?
Wait. What? I mean, that's definitely, I have that circled on my calendar for sure.
I mean, I hope so. You're working the game tonight.
Oh, you said 76ers.
Oh, that's Sunday. Yeah. Tonight, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the game tonight. We got the game on Sportsnet.
I know.
You all right? You all right with that?
You know, I'm all right with that. Because you know why? It's the NBA. You never know. Look at the Bulls-Lakers game last night.
Yeah, crazy.
And look what happened there. That could happen tonight.
The Lakers going from two nights ago winning on a buzzer beater from LeBron to last night losing on a buzzer beater, half court heave from Josh Giddey, no less.
LeBron meltdown city. He screwed up on the first three. He overcommitted on the help for some reason. Gave up the three. They cut it to two, and then turns it over on the inbound pass. Strike two for LeBron. Knocked down another three to take the lead. And then Reeves bails him out and scores with like 2.5 seconds left to put Lakers back up one. And then they don't put anyone on the ball, so they're not matched up. And LeBron gets stuck in no man's land, and Giddey hits a half-court shot at the buzzer to win it. Unbelievable sequence.
Yeah, it's look, the Lakers would want that one back. They are fighting for playoff seeding in a way that actually matters. The Bulls kind of just like the hottest team in the Eastern Conference at, I guess, the right time. Like, there's no missing the play-in now.
I wouldn't want to play them. They shoot a ton of threes. You never know with
Kobe,
that team.
Kobe White's been on fire, too, for like a couple of weeks here. Back-to-back players of the Player of the Week awards. I probably wouldn't pick them, but, like, they could beat Orlando and Atlanta and, like, take
one of the NCAA tournament format, single elimination, that is not a team I want to play. Because their variability from one game to the next because of how they play and how many threes they shoot is great. And if they're hot, good luck beating them.
Yeah, 4 wins in a row, 8 of their last 10. The Heat have also won 3 in a row, so the Raptors really don't have to worry about that side. The Spurs only 5 games clear of the Raptors with 1 left against each other.
And that's after a 3-game win streak. Imagine if they didn't do that.
Yeah.
We'd be sweating right now for another slot in the ping pong ball order.
We absolutely would be. As it stands, it'll be a tank off tonight between the Raptors and, like, to the extent that Ochai Agbaji is resting tonight. Non-back-to-back young player, you know, 5-6 games back from injury. You know what? He's too good. You got to sit him down. Someone in my mentions,
just tired. He needs to rest.
Yeah, not to do the show off of Twitter, but like someone in my mentions was like, why are we even bothered playing Jacoby at this point? I'm like, Jacoby? Like a rookie who's missed a bunch of time this year with injuries? Like that, we can't get to that level where even the rookies have to.
Right. Not even of legal drinking age in the U.S. Yeah. You're playing.
Someone has to play these games.
Yep. Hold on. Do I have 30 seconds?
You have as much time as you want.
All right.
It's your show, buddy.
I thought of, you know how I'm putting together my political platform for my run? I came up with 2 more issues that are going to be on my platform.
Okay.
All right. Issue number 1, we're getting rid of telemarketers. I'm starting to get Canadian telemarketers now. So now I'm getting it from both ends. I'm getting it from the U.S. and Canada. That's not fair. It's not fair to get any of them, but I'm getting like double telemarketers and they're going late. They're going like 7-8 at night. I'm getting telemarketing calls. Why? How has this not been outlawed by now? It's just like a stroke of the pen and we make it a law. You're not allowed to just randomly call people and solicit. And if we catch you, you're going down.
They can't even
That's number one.
They can't even do anything about the phone scammers. They're not going to be able to do anything about the telemarketers that are.
I think the telemarketing lobby has their talons in Ottawa and D.C.
All right.
That's
Mark Carney. What do you got on telemarketing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the second one quick because law's ready to go.
Second one real quick. We're going to make it easier to cancel stuff. Like if you have a streaming service.
Services. Okay.
Like if you have a streaming service or a subscription-based something and you have to cancel, they make it so hard. It took me like 30. I'm not going to call out the streaming service that I canceled yesterday, but it took me like 35 minutes. It was insane. We're getting rid of that.
Okay.
Like we're going to make it super one click. Like you unsubscribe on emails now. They changed that. We're going to change it for this. You want to cancel your streaming service, one click, canceled, we're done.
I've been dealing with
I'm getting elected with this.
I try to unsubscribe to a certain email from a certain place that I won't say on air because I'll probably get fired. And when you click on subscribe, it takes you to the unsubscribe website, and the website just like loads forever. I've tried it like 12 times.
This is what I'm talking about.
You can't unsubscribe. Listen, I'll just say Toronto Blue Jays marketing emails. I'm trying to unsubscribe. If you're listening, I've been trying to unsubscribe for years.
People always are like, how are politicians going to help me in my everyday life?
That's
my platform. Yeah. I'm the everyman.
Forget TFSA contribution limits.
I'm the everyman.
This is it. Okay. Yep. Let's talk a little Clippers. We'll set up Raptors Hornets properly. Bruce Bowen's going to join the show in the second half. We'll also talk, if we have time, a little bit of March Madness, some banger games last night. Cool Cooper flag game, Gators through to the Elite Eight. But we have been trying to find a time to talk about the Clippers because they are very hot.
Yes.
Kawhi looks great. Norman Powell, our old friend, is having a terrific season. James Harden's rolling back the clock. Let's talk to Law Murray of The Athletic. Get the feel for this Clippers team. Law, before we touch Clippers, though, good morning. Welcome. How did you enjoy the Lakers buzzer beater loss last night?
Man, I actually had the Duke game, the Arizona game. I don't like Duke, but, you know, I got to watch Cooper play. I had it on mute. You know, and I had the NBA on the second string on the laptop. And I already watched the Bulls beat the Lakers Saturday. And the Bulls just play insane basketball games. They don't make any damn sense, right? And it's a compliment because, you know, you can't be caught having me saying nice things about that team the way they've been. The Bulls are just, it's like, what are y'all trying to do long term? But forget all that. They playing fun basketball. And the end of that game was the epitome of this run that they've been on, winning 9 out of 11. And I just, like, that's crazy. You don't hear nobody talking about the Alex Caruso trade no more. And that's not even because Alex has been poor or the Thunder. No, that dude Giddey has been playing really well. The Bulls have been fun. I don't know how this ends, but that's not the point. For one night, that was crazy. And it's been like that for a few nights now, to be honest.
Okay, so you mentioned the college basketball there as well. You're a USC guy, right?
I went there. I wouldn't call me. You're the first person to ever ask me if I'm a USC guy. I just happen to have a master's degree from there. So, you know, that's about it.
I don't know. I'm from Canada. Like, we have no association sports-wise with the schools that we went. Like,
USC basketball? Like, O.J. Mayo? Did he go there?
Yeah.
He went there.
DeMar.
DeMar DeRozan is right there, man.
Oh, yeah. DeMar, yeah.
DeMar, 25,000 points, man.
You know what? When I think of USC, I don't think of basketball ever. Unfortunately.
See, okay. That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, on the women's side, a little bit more.
I think when I think USC, I think admissions scandal. And wow. I think football.
See, this is why I'm not a USC
I think
guy
boys, playing. Boys in the hood football.
All I think is their grad program turns out great beat writers. You know, that's all it is.
What a kiss up.
Yeah.
My God.
That journalism master's program, you know.
Let's talk about what we're talking about here.
I'm trying to pivot back. This is where I'm going. I'm taking it back to Law's Clippers coverage. So, man, this you just talked about how hot the Bulls are. Clippers looking pretty good as well. 9 of their last 11. They're fighting kind of a Golden State there for 6th in the West. Very tough schedule of late as well. What are you seeing from this team that's clicking right now?
It's as simple as people are finally used to playing with each other and are on the floor. They're so good in terms of the health and the depth right now, knock on wood, seriously, but they're at the point where certain guys who've been playing all season are now starting to not play because there's just not enough room for everybody, you know, and I think that's what you want. I remember covering this team this time last year. This time last year, T. Lou had to call a team with 4 future Hall of Famers from Southern California soft. Like, not imply, like, explicitly saying that they were soft, you know? And to that team's credit, they responded. They went to Philadelphia where James was playing his first game since being traded by the 76ers, right? And they won a tough one there. They wound up winning a tough game over a very good Orlando team. And ended the road trip really well in Charlotte. But Kawhi's knee gave out during that trip. Now you got Kawhi peaking. Kawhi is playing like all NBA Kawhi Leonard. It's a thing where I can't stand NBA trolls, man. NBA trolls, first of all, they're not original. You know, they say the same damn thing all the time. It's almost as if they're watching a particular American talk show first thing in the morning and just, you know, repeating what they say. But Kawhi is playing like a dude that was worth waiting on. You know, Kawhi signed his extension January 2024, played some of the best ball that he's ever played unfortunately did not make it to the playoffs in full strength and once again did not finish a postseason. He had a gold medal opportunity taken away from him because his knee wasn't right. He didn't start this season. When he did start this season, it was slow. But that slow, that's slow is pro right now, you know? Like, he's playing great and leading this team. It's allowed Norm to take his time coming back from injury. And now Norm, I think he had his best game since coming back in New York Wednesday night. James is playing at he was an all-star, but he's going to get all NBA votes with how he's been playing. He raises everyone's level. And then the guy who really needs some award recognition, and I'm not sure if he'll get it because, again, branding, is Vince Zubats. He's been a two-way force. He has anchored a top five defense all season long. And now he's putting up 20-10 to the point where it's not even surprising when he does it.
You talk about trolls. I really like rooting for people that everyone hates on. And Kawhi and James Harden have had to deal with a lot of crap, to your point, from the pundits, from the analysts, from the media. And the reason, they're playing great right now. But the thing that worries me, and it's a thing that worried me coming into the season with this team, is regular season aside, once postseason hits, will Kawhi's knee hold up? What will happen with James Harden? Because we've seen him just go in the jar postseason after postseason. How prevalent are those seeds of doubt in your mind right now? Or do you think they can overcome it this year?
Well, you just mentioned the number one thing in that playoff factor as far as what kind of ceiling they have is health. Tyronn Lue became the head coach of the LA Clippers fall of 2020. He has not once experienced a postseason where his team lost the last game and Kawhi Leonard was available to talk because Kawhi has been injured. Like, that is that's a waste of a generation in basketball terms. You know what I mean? Last year was hit the hardest because Paul was done, you know? Paul George showed that he could not get to that next level as far as being the guy with Kawhi not being able to come back. Like, Dallas benefited from that. And that's a shame because that series was a lot closer than people are going to remember it being. You know, that season that the Clippers had was a lot better than people are going to remember it. None of what the Clippers are doing right now matters if Kawhi isn't there mid-April to the duration of their postseason run. If they make it, they still have to clinch. If they get in the play-in tournament, they still have to survive it. I've seen this team go into the play-in tournament as the 8th seed and fail to make it and lose to a team that lost, I think, 8 more games than them during the regular season. Everyone has an appropriate fear of the play-in tournament in that organization. And a lot of the players who were there in 2022 are still there in 2025. So, Matt, Kawhi looks great. And the big reason he looks great is because he has avoided injury. His minutes have increased. Every time that dude hits the floor, you kind of have in the back of your mind, is he going to be able to make it to the next game? And he keeps making it to the next game. It sucks. That's a terrible way to play basketball and to think about a team. And that, you know, I'm not a fan or a credentialed fan, but there are people who it's like you have empathy, a real emotion. I swear that exists in sports and sports media. You have it for these players. You know, James Harden's getting old. You know, but he shows up every damn night to play in these games. He's missed 3 all season. I've watched him barely make it to the damn.
I love that, by the way. I love Sunday. That. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, people, not just me, but yeah, I'm in there. I'm happy to report. I'm asking him, dude, you got hit like you was playing, you know, tight end and Mu Dort is a strong safety. And he didn't miss a game. Cross country flight. He didn't miss a game, and he played great, led his team scoring yet again. And it's like, yeah, he's had shortcomings in the playoffs. He's also had to deal with his teammates being hurt. He's had to deal with, you know, so much more than, honestly, he's got a lot of talent around him. Can he just get there in one piece and play his role? Those are the things where it's like, I think everyone, even if they're not a quote-unquote contender, can you just get through the damn playoffs with all your guys so you can get to the offseason and not say, well, damn, what if Kawhi was healthy? You know, we had not said that in 5 years. And the last time we said that, they were playing next to Walt Disney World, for crying out loud.
Yeah, Harden came into the season getting wicked trolled for being out of shape, fat.
Huge spike in usage, huge spike in playmaking load.
He's played in every game. Yeah. Like, what, you can't say anything to him. Like, at his age, it's amazing. Yeah. And his usage, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's jumped from, like, last year. By the end of last year, he was, like, almost league average usage rate. He's back up to almost 30%. Huge playmaking load. The other guy who's had his – who has an interesting role in this dynamic is Norman Powell, who, obviously, you shout him out there a lot in going over what's worked this season. You know, he stepped up in such a big way while Kawhi was out to start the year. Like, this team started 20-15 without Kawhi, and Norman Powell was, to some, including myself, maybe an all-star snub, right? I know he was hurt right around the all-star break, so maybe it wouldn't have mattered anyway, but, you know, was in the mix for an all-star spot, then misses a bunch of time as Kawhi comes back. What have you made of where Norm is these last five games since he's come back, and how his role is going to shift now that Kawhi is, you know, playing most games?
That's a crazy thing about it, you know. Norm was literally borderline. It could have been Norm, it could have been James, it could have been Zoo. The Clippers got an all-star, not even because guys were, you know, playing the way they were playing. It was because the team was winning, right? You win games and this stuff matters more. Like, if the Clippers were, you know, if the Clippers have 40 losses right now, I don't think anyone's as excited about Norm. They're just going to be like, huh, attention by subtraction, but y'all also have been subtracting wins, right? That hasn't been the case. So Norm was carrying these dudes from his role offensively, which was Paul George's role last year, while Kawhi was either out or trying to get back to playing NBA basketball after missing more than 6 months of it. Now Norm misses basically a month, and in that time, Kawhi basically assumed the role that Norm had all year. And now Norm is trying to come back and integrate himself with all that's happening. That includes Bogdan Bogdanovic, by the way, who had a slow start to his time with the Clippers, had a slow start to this season in general. Then you look at his percentage in Atlanta, you're like, how the heck was he valued at the level that he was? Now you see it. The Clippers figured out what kind of player Bogdan Bogdanovic could be in their system. And that guy is playing fourth quarter minutes. He's handling the ball and picking rolls. He's got this synergy with Ben Simmons, which is crazy. That affects Norm too, because now you come back, it's like, Norm, take your time. We don't need you to carry any part of this offense. We have plenty of guys who can cook, but that's why I shouted out how he played Wednesday night. Like, first of all, that game started poorly for the Clippers. They were down 14, and then they wound up turning the Knicks by more than 30 points. Like, it was tremendous, and Norm had a big part of, you know, not just the comeback, but how they had to close the game. Like, he hit big shots down the stretch, and that's the thing with Norm. He doesn't need the ball to be effective and efficient, you know. You can call plays for him, but also he can just spot up and just knock down shots. And that's what Norm has worked his whole career doing. I don't think when the Toronto Raptors drafted Norman Powell that he'd become the kind of player that you'd be speaking of as far as one of the very best shooters in the league. Or, you know, that guy is a bucket. He's very confident in his game. He works incredibly hard. Sometimes you need to do that with your body as well. And he's done that. He's gotten himself healthy. And it's the same thing. Norm knows what it's like to be hurt, try and come back to a team rolling, and then not really have your rhythm as you're going into the play-in tournament. And so this team has a lot of complementary pieces for a team that's bottom 10 overall for the season. Over these 11 games where they're 9-2, they're number two in the league in offensive efficiency. And it speaks to a coaching staff that can adjust. But also, they have a lot of talent. It just makes sense that once those guys started playing together and getting comfortable, that the pieces were going to fall into place.
So
Norm's a part of it.
Yeah, Norm. And you paint the picture there of, like, this is more moving pieces and adjustments than just, oh, Kawhi's back. Hey, Kawhi's back. Norm's been in and out. You add Bogdanovic, things like that. They also added Ben Simmons. And I know he's not as huge a part. You know, he's coming off the bench, 17 minutes a game since he got there. You had a great piece up at The Athletic today talking to Ben Simmons about where he's at now. This is, you know, his third stop. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. You want to talk trolls? That guy's maybe yeah, had more of that.
Talk about a trolled team.
Yeah, more than maybe anybody. So everyone should go to The Athletic and read the piece. But Law, in your conversations with Ben Simmons, where's he at mentally? Where's he at in terms of his fit with this Clippers team?
I think Ben is incredibly happy right now, which is a very strange thing to say considering all that Ben has been through. But what's funny, Blake, we used to work together, okay? You know who my editors are. and they're like, hey, we should write about Ben. And I was like, I ain't trying to do that right now. Like, we still got comments up at The Athletic, man. Like, every now and again, I look at them, Jones, and like, I already know what this is going to look like. I'm not sure. All right, we can do this story, you know. Ben and I have talked a bunch. I talked to Ben when he was with the Nets and they visited the Clippers in the preseason. And I just had a feeling, I see where this team is at. And Ben's contract, I cover a team that lives in the buyout market. I was just like, I'm just saying, I don't think this Nets team is going to have Ben at the end of the season. So let me talk to this dude and you know, just get a feel for how he's approaching this season, right? You just never know. Well, now he's on the Clippers. It's like, well, y'all want a Ben Simmons story? I got one from October. But I needed to write a new one because he's played some games now for the Clippers. He's missed some time. He missed 2 weeks with a contact knee injury, you know, which is better than the alternative, you know, being like, what's up with Ben Simmons? Dude, he got knee, you know, it happens. It's basketball. It's a contact sport, believe it or not. That dude is, everyone's going to look at him like a guy who was an all-star, a number one pick, a phenom. A guy who had legacy as far as basketball. People know his dad, you know. A guy who has failed in the most ridiculous ways to fail in basketball. Shooting a basketball, trying to, you know, finish a game seven and passing up a shot. Sitting on the bench while his team is facing the Celtics. Everyone's thinking he's going to be a factor in the series and he never even plays. And, you know, KD and Kyrie never played together in the playoffs again. Like, people like to blame Ben for a whole lot of stuff. Like, they look at Ben even now in the Clippers, and it's like, oh, that dude doesn't score. We want to see him shoot. We're talking about this like, you know, it's 5 years ago, you know. And I got news for you. Ben's not that player anymore. He's never going to be the player that y'all wanted him to be. He's just going to be the player that his team is asking him to be. And that's more than enough. He's a second unit guy who plays multiple positions, whose job is to get the ball to others in a variety of ways and defend everybody that there is to defend. And you know what? That's all that matters. And he's been doing that role, and people are never going to be happy about it because of what they think Ben is supposed to be from, you know, 2-3 years ago, another contract ago.
This sounds like a mental health self-help tape, which I love. Like, you are enough. Like, also, it's like when parents put crazy expectations on their kids that they can't meet. It's like, no, that's not who your kid is. Yeah. It's the same thing. Who's the second round or the second pick in the draft that went to Duke, the power forward guy? He was just in social media last week on my feed.
Jabari?
Jabari Parker. He went to Europe, and he's like, I don't look at my career as a failure. I'm happy. I made a ton of money. I took care of my family. I had an awesome career. I saw the world. Like, I don't feel disappointed at all. Like, that's the attitude you should have. Like,
and like, if you're a Clippers fan, you didn't use the number one pick on Ben Simmons. You didn't pay a max contract for Ben Simmons. You got him as a buyout guy.
Players
you got Ben
don't
Simmons
sign
for
themselves
nothing.
To these contracts either. But like, and like, I get it. Like, it's just all part of your journey. And now this is, to your point, this is who he is. Like, he's not going to be that guy anymore. It's like Vince Carter at the end of his career as a role player. He was an awesome role player the last 4 or 5 years of his career. He's not going to be the Vince Carter scoring 25 a game for Toronto in the Nets. Like, this is who he is, and his ability to accept that extended his career to 20-something years or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Ben Simmons got 22 seasons in him, but
I don't know about that either. But it's nice to see him, to your point, happy.
Yeah, it's great. That was a great piece, man. Really enjoyed that piece. Keep up all the great work covering the Clippers. I hope you get a playoff series or two here, man, not just a play-in.
Hey, thank you, and I'll tell you what, one way or the other, I got work to do, so I'm going to focus on that.
That's right. All right, man. Thanks so much.
Keep grinding.
Law Murray of The Athletic. Make sure you check out all his great work. Doing an awesome job covering the Clippers. And, if you're on Blue Sky, he posts a lot of post-game audio. A lot of one-on-ones on the road with James Harden. He had audio from Kawhi on there.
How long?
not super long. He posts a lot of good stuff if you are interested in that Clippers team and Harden and Norm and Kawhi and Ty Lue, great coach too.
Underrated coach, big time.
I forgot to mention that they have had such a next man up mentality on that team that like even Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy have had missed games and other coaches have had to step up.
I'm weirdly rooting for the Clippers because everybody hates on him so much. I want to see him show everyone up.
Also, like, yeah, even just give me one playoff series of Kawhi fully healthy and looking like Kawhi.
And Kawhi will, I'll always be a Kawhi mega fan because he helped me, not me, us win a championship in 2014. Played with him all those years. Forever grateful for him, how he helped my career.
Well, from that championship to a different couple of Spurs championships, let's take a break.
Nice on the other side, transition.
Let's talk to three-time NBA champion and a pal of yours, Bruce Bowen. That's next as the Raptor Show continues with Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Raptor Show. Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner with you. I'm going to sit out for a little bit, though. Earlier this morning, Matt got to chop it up with an old teammate of his, a friend of his, a three-time NBA champion. And yeah, if you are about my age, an introduction into what really good defense looks like. Eight-time all-defensive team player Bruce Bowen joined Matt a little earlier. Here's this interview, that interview.
Bruce, thanks for joining the Raptors show. I think I probably saw you last season, but it's been a long time. What have you been up to?
You know, Matt, I think the last time that we were actually together was Hall of Fame, maybe.
Oh, yeah, so, that's right.
You know, as far as I'm just living the dream, man. I was coaching high school basketball. I'm no longer doing that. But now I'm just kind of sitting back and growing a beard like you.
It looks good on you. They got the salt and you haven't gone to the Just for Men beard dye, which is nice.
You know, it really doesn't look good to me. Like when I see black on someone's face, it's like, it doesn't look natural.
I agree. You mentioned the Hall of Fame. That was a fun run for the Spurs. We had the Big Three and Coach Pop and Becky Hammon all go in kind of in succession. I don't remember the last time when I saw you. By the way, we hitched a ride on a private jet back to from Springfield, Mass to San Antonio. That was my third time being on a private jet, not counting like Spurs charters. So I felt pretty
really?
I felt pretty baller. I was also insanely hungover on that flight. So I was like just trying to keep it together, you know, act like you belong.
And I wasn't going to bring that up, Matt.
Well, it was the Hall of Fame. Like, we had a huge party after to celebrate, you know? Not you or me. We're not in the Hall of Fame, but...
But it was a fun time. And as you know, being a part of the organization, that's kind of what transpired. And that's why you fit so well when you were here. Within the organization because of what you did. You didn't take yourself too seriously, but at the same time, you brought a work ethic and a talent that allowed you to sustain yourself within this organization. So, you know, it's kind of what goes on with this organization. I don't know much about others, but it's always good to be able to be a part of something quite like this.
Absolutely. You know, you just gave me an idea. The NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield has a section for like fans, Nav, Jimmy Goldstein. I don't know who else has gotten inducted in there, but maybe I was thinking like if they had a section for role players, like you would be a first ballot role player Hall of Famer. You were an Iron Man. You basically played all 82 games your last however many years in the league, all the way up to age 37. Your last year, I think you played 80 games, which is insane. You shot 39.3% from three in your career, which when I looked that up, I did a double take. I mean, I played with you for three seasons, and I knew you could obviously shoot, and you hit a ton of big shots in your career, but I didn't realize you were that good. You know, multiple year all defensive team. You were three-time champ. You were like the ultimate star in your role player, like an OG 3-and-D. What would, like, when you watch players today trying to figure it out and figure out how to have a career in the NBA, what would you tell them? Not the star players, like role players.
Right. No, I'm with you, Matt. I really would tell them to star in their role. See, that's one of the things I think because of what the game is now. So many times people are constantly telling individuals that in order for them to have success, they have to be the go-to guy. You see it in the AAU world quite a bit. And my biggest issue when it comes to the AAU world is that it's setting kids up for failure because you might be able to shoot lights out with your group, but then there's somewhere else. There's a kid that at the two guard position at 6'8" and long and can create his own shot and creates opportunities for the team. I think the misconception right now with some players is that they're go-to guys because they can score the basketball. But if you're on a team where they have a presence and others, so it's like these three levels of scoring you have at the NBA. You have the inside presence as far as the foundation guys like a Tim Duncan or Jokic or Wembanyama. Then you have, okay, you have a guard, usually an attacking guard who's always putting pressure on the defense and creating things for others. Then you have that other piece that, okay, we can isolate that guy because it's a mismatch for that individual. I don't think everyone truly understands that, okay, if you have those three level scores on the floor at one moment, it doesn't leave a lot of room for someone else to do things. So usually you have that other big man who's a defender and a rebounder and a wing guy who can spot up and knock down shots for you, but also play defense on the other side. So it is integral. I mean, it's intricate as far as the details of what truly goes on when we're talking about someone joining a team and fitting a role. I guarantee you this, Matt, if you ask anyone like, hey, would you like a 10-year career or 10-year plus career? In the beginning, kids will say, oh, absolutely, I love that. Now, when you start trimming the fat and saying, okay, it's going to happen this way, if you truly love the game, if you're truly realistic to who you are, I think you still say, okay, sign me up for that. But it's the unrealistic individuals that miss out on so much because of others feeding into their head that they're something that they're truly not.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that comes down to having the mindset of what can I do to help the team win? Instead of what can I do to make so I can get numbers and I can be the star. Like, if you can just have that mindset, I think a lot of that stuff takes care of itself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I remember a situation with you, Matt, and it's just, it's who you are. You're a tough guy, and nobody realized that. I mean, as far as around, you weren't beating your chest and telling people how tough you are, but you came to work every day. You were in the gym doing your work. And I remember when you sprained your meniscus, and I thought it was hilarious what you said. You said to Will 70, who was our trainer, well, can you just pop it back in place so I can get back out there?
And, I don't even remember that.
And Seb was like, no, Matt, but it's about who you were, Matt. And it's about, you know, what you just said. What can I do to help the team? You know, people used to always say, like, I made it a point that when I came out of the game and when Pop called me to go back in the game, always, if you notice, I ran to the scores table. I ran because I appreciated that moment. And I remember moments where coaches weren't calling my name. So for me, it was more about enjoying that moment and not taking the time to necessarily say, oh, man, look at how fortunate I am. But more or less, how can I keep this going? I want them to understand how much I appreciate being here. And the best way I knew how was to display it on the court.
It's funny you bring that up. My first year on the Spurs, you and Jock Vaughn used to do the same thing. And you were two like role players I kind of looked up to. I did the same thing because you guys did. I don't even know. You probably don't even realize it.
Oh, wow.
Every time I'm gonna run on the court. I'm going to run off the court. I'm going to slap every single person five. If Coach Pop blows the whistle, I'm whatever drill I'm in. I'm not shooting one more shot. I'm not taking two more dribbles. I'm running to the huddle every single time. Yeah. Like, those little things matter. that type of discipline. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about was kind of your Ironman streak. You always played. You always made yourself available to play. It's not that way anymore. How much of that was your process and like habits, and how much was mindset?
I think I'd say it's, I was going to try to go percentages on it, but 90% was the mentality that there's no way I'm because I felt like, you know what, I'll have time to rest after I'm done playing. And it was also an appreciation of being there. My pathway to the league was very different than everybody else's. I went to a baseball school. Only player that people really know out of my school is Cedric Ceballos. I was a freshman when he was a senior out of Cal State Fullerton. It was a baseball school. I know some really good baseball players because, you know, going to school with them. Just as you know a lot of good football players, baseball players, basketball players because of the school you went to. But when you understand that someone might be watching, and I know that maybe I didn't fit in other systems, but I found a place where I fit. And because I found that place where I fit, I want to make sure that it's never questioned as far as, should we have given him this opportunity? I wanted everyone to understand that I appreciated the opportunity that I had each and every night of lacing them up, especially with where I'm from, small city in central San Joaquin Valley, Fresno, California. So for me, Maddie, it was truly about the aspect of, hey, I get a chance to do this every single night. I'm going to make it where they have to pull me off the floor if that's what's to take place.
I had the same mindset, and I attribute some of that to not making it to the NBA right out of college. I had to go play in the Italian League in Sicily, a team that went bankrupt, had to deal with all this crap off the court. So when I finally made the NBA, I was like, I am never going back there. Like, no one, same thing. You're going to have to rip me off the court. You had a similar path, right?
Yeah.
You played a few years overseas. Did that help contribute?
I think it did, obviously. You know, I was a scorer then, and it was a way for me to continue to hone the opportunities of getting eyes on me. A little fun fact that I think you know, but others may not, is that Tony used to come watch me play when I was in Loire in Pro B. And, you know, you think about those moments, Maddie. I don't know about you in Sicily. Now, Sicily is much more attractive than Loire, you know, France, as far as I'm concerned. But riding the bus for 10 hours, that was new to me. And they flew us over to one city, and we had to ride the bus back. And that's when I had never been on a bus where the seats convert into little beds. That was a first for me. And one time I felt our bus kind of drift over to the bumps in the median and the brrrr. And I got up and I went up front. The driver was dozing.
Oh, as no. He's
right. And I'm like, I said, hey. And he kind of like, But that was something I had never experienced. And so you think of those experiences. Now, there were obviously some great experiences being in France, being able to see some historical places. But yeah, I didn't want to go back to France. I wanted to get to the NBA, especially when I'm looking at some of the guys that I was first team all Big West with. I just get Brian Russell, Lucius Harris, J.R. Ryder, you know, a guy by the name of, I forget this other guy, but it was just, I saw them. They were playing. Bo Outlaw had just made the Clippers. So I'm looking at these guys that I once played against and with, and they're in the league, but I didn't say, oh man, you know what, the league tripping. How come I'm not there? I knew I had flaws. And my thoughts were, just give me an opportunity to work on those flaws, and hopefully I can get to the NBA.
Well, Sicily got a PR makeover after White Lotus 2. I can assure you most of the island isn't like Taormina where they shot that. Yeah, no, I hear you. Last thing, we only have a few more minutes, but I got to ask you a question about defense, which was your calling card. And we've had Garrett Temple, that's his calling card on the Raptors. He's like their OG vet. He comes on our show every few weeks, and we've talked about, you know, making it in the NBA. If you're a role player, you got to have one thing that you can hang your hat on. That's your identity, that you do better than anyone else. You know, as good as you were at shooting and everything else, you were an absolute defensive stopper, pretty much 1 through 5. I remember one time we were playing in Portland and Zach Randolph was destroying us and we put you on him and you shut him down and we came back and won the game. But like, how would you, like, I know it's going to be hard to do in a couple minutes, but as best you can summarize, like, how would you teach someone that's coming the NBA today, like, how to be the best defender they can be? Like, was it all instinct? Is it preparation? What is it?
I think a lot of it is instinct, but now with instinct, you got to add preparation. You got to add certain habits of watching film and just being a ball hawk at times and recognizing certain things you can do in those moments. You know, if I'm coaching today, you know, Matt, I would really, I would make defense so sexy to these guys. And really, you have to share with them how important they are and how important they can be. And sometimes it's something that they've never heard, Matt. I mean, you look at these guys and what they can do offensively. Man, if you can do that offensively, just imagine if we start to tap into your creativity on the defensive side. How would you stop yourself on this? What gave you problems when someone did that? So I think there's a way that you can, but it's about how you communicate to this younger generation. You really have to really just, I mean, I think to implore upon them is an understatement. You really have to every single day talk about certain things. It's the connection. And if you can connect with the player, then I think you have a great opportunity of showing them how important they can be on the floor with their defense. And then when they get on the floor and they get a deflection, Matt, next thing you know, you're praising that. And next thing, they're starting like, whoa, man, I can do some stuff here. I'm getting, and as you know, sometimes it's about notoriety. I'm being recognized for something I did defensively, and they've never heard that before. Wow. They've never experienced it. So now when they have an impact against the Carmelo Anthony, as far as I'm concerned, Ray Allen, Vince Carter, you know, Kobe, Tracy McGrady, when I'm impacting those individuals, now people are starting to take notice of what I do. And at the end of the day, you're being recognized for a talent that you have, and you continue to develop that talent just as they do when it comes to other things.
That's great stuff right there. I hope someone out there in Canada is listening to this and takes that to heart and it helps them in their careers. Bruce, thanks for joining us. I'm sure I'll run into you next time I'm in San Antonio. And if you ever get up here to Toronto, I got to take you for a sandwich.
I'm mad we didn't get to our sandwich story, but we'll leave that one for the next time I'm on.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Bruce. My best to the fam.
Take care. All right.
Bye.
All right. That was a great interview. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how long it's been since I like actually had a longer conversation than like a stop and chat.
With one of your guys?
With
you mean?
Bruce.
Yeah.
Bruce. Like I saw him a couple times last season, but it was like stop and chat. It wasn't like, hey, let's have a whole conversation. So that was fun for me too.
Speaking of sandwiches, by the way, I have a sandwich thing for you for a change.
Oh, wow.
First of all, there was this one of the security gentlemen at the Blue Jays game yesterday said that he has sandwich recs for us, but he didn't know the name offhand. So he's going to get back to us on that. But someone sent me one on Instagram to send to you, and it looks incredible. It's called La Salumeria. It's like Young and Davisville.
So Italian.
Yeah, Italian style.
All right.
It looks very good.
How do you spell it?
I'll text it to you.
We're going to do this on air?
Yeah, no, I'll text it to you. But yeah, it's up like Young Davisville, Young Eglinton area.
I'm in.
So.
I'll get my Tums ready for the ensuing heartburn after eating Italian sandwiches.
Really? Just from that?
Oh, yeah.
Old.
I'm a steady diet.
Okay. I was going to try to make a steady diet of basketball pivot. I don't know, man. It's Raptors Hornets tonight and the Sweet 16. Did you get to catch any of the games last night?
I did. The only one I didn't watch because I went to bed because I thought it was over was the Texas Tech Arkansas game. And I was mad Texas Tech won because that's the one team I did not want to see because they have two really good bigs, which kind of neutralizes our advantage on the Gators. So I'm kind of worried about the next game.
Yeah, JT Toppin had a good one with 20-9 with 5 blocks.
Yeah, he's tough.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Old school.
Pretty good. Yeah, and then obviously the Duke Arizona game was a ton of fun. Great Cooper Flag game. Caleb Love, who it feels like he's been in the NCAA since you were. This is like year 5 UNC and then Arizona, like
Knipple super efficient too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then a good Malawach game defensively, but Caleb Love 30 and like I felt good for Caleb Love. Like I'm not an Arizona or UNC fan, but like he has had so many big games where he shot like 2 of 15 or something like that on the way out. So for him to go down but score 35 points super efficiently and be the guy like dragging Arizona, trying to get them back in the game, get them back in the game, I thought was really cool as like a final game of his college career.
Yeah. No, he's going to be a pro. I have no doubt.
Yeah. He'd rate as a G League or two-way guy probably in terms of draft ranking and stuff like that now and then in Europe for sure.
Europe or China or something. He's going to make money playing basketball.
Yeah, and then the other two games weren't that close. Alabama kind of rolled BYU and Gators.
Alabama
Gators
hit like 25 threes or something? They broke a record.
They broke the record really early in the game too. They finished 25 for 51.
There you go.
And then, yeah, Gators clear. No problem. Derek Queen, good game, but otherwise...
Yep.
Otherwise, Gators, no problem. Queen had, 27 points?
Yeah. I mean, we kept them in the game with all the turnovers for the first half, basically. Yeah. Then we ran away with it.
All right. And then we got a lot of, obviously, this is how the bracket works. We got 4 games again tonight, and we got the start of the women's Sweet 16 as well. So that should be a lot of fun.
But everyone's going to watch the Raptors.
Everyone's going to be locked in, yes, from 7:30 until about 9:45. It's Hornets at Raptors at 7:30 on Sportsnet. Time now for Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. And I promise that my lack of enthusiasm in my voice is a tiredness issue, not a I'm not locked in for Hornets Raptors, because I'll be on the pregame broadcast with you. You'll get mad at halftime and postgame, of course, as well. Raptors are 5.5-point favorites in this one. Jakob Poeltl is back in, looking at a double-double, plus 185. RJ Barrett and Ochai Agbaji are going to rest for this game. So the pattern continues of Quickly and Poeltl rest one game, RJ rests the next game. Ochai's getting in the mix this time as well. Brendan Ingram, Grady Dick, Ulrich Shamshay remain out. Jared Roden is still with the 905. They wrap up their season tomorrow. So then Roden will join the team from there, and he's got 7 NBA days left. Chris Boucher is questionable as he works his way back from that illness. On the Hornets side, LaMelo Ball, Brendan Miller, Grant Williams, Josh Okogie, Trey Mann, all out. Matt, can you take it for a second? I got to sneeze.
Sure. Without all of them in the game, and Jakob Poeltl is playing. Oh, yeah, we're not allowed to make... Yeah, it's looking good for the Raptors. I'll put it that way.
You can make a pick. I just don't.
Oh, I can?
No, we're allowed. I just don't. I don't make picks.
I'm all in on the Raps tonight. I'm feeling good.
There you go. Raptors minus 5.5. You have it locked in. This is the Hornets team, 18-54. They're 2.5 back. They're third last right now. So they're 2.5 back of second last. They're a game and a half up on fourth last. So they have lots of incentive to continue losing. 6-24 in their last 30, but they accidentally won 4 games a couple weeks ago. We haven't seen this team mercifully since October when they beat the Raptors 138-133. On the Raptors side, they're pretty locked into seventh at this point. 2 wins clear of Philadelphia, or 3 wins clear rather, Philadelphia and Brooklyn on one side, 5 wins clear of the Spurs on the other side. They have, of course, 1-2 in a row and 18-16 over the last 34. I'm sure much to your chagrin at this point in the season. But yeah, they're pretty locked into seventh. I don't think they're catching Brooklyn and Philly. And it's hard to imagine with only 9 games left here, even with a closer against San Antonio, that they could catch San Antonio.
But they could.
They could. Yeah, the odds are greater than 0.
I'm so happy San Antonio went on that 3-game win streak.
Yeah, helpful, including the win against the Raptors.
Exactly.
That was Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. It's Hornets at Raptors, 7:30 tonight on Sportsnet. Myself and Matt and Sherm and everyone else with you pregame as well if you want a little bit more breakdown. Thank you to Bruce Bowen for joining the show. That was a lot of fun to listen to. To Law Murray as well for giving us the Clippers rundown. Thanks to Amit Mann, Jake Schultz, and Austin Mackey behind the glass. We will be back Monday. I'll have some Jays stuff also going on, but Raptor show is locked in 11-12. We'll be with you every day through to the end of the season. Have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you on Monday.